Good morning. It is always a pleasure to be asked to share with you here at Reformed Baptist Church of Lafayette. Your pastor, as you have heard, is a very dear friend of mine. I also have other friends here. I always tell Pastor Harrison that Elder Phil is one of my favorite preachers. And one of these days I must come only to listen to him. I am going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And permit me to read from a personal translation, verse 13 through to verse 18. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 18. When Elder Phil asked me about my topic and text, I gave him a text and he gave the text a topic, flight to Egypt. It says, verse 13, "And after they departed, see, an angel of the Lord appeared during a dream to Joseph, saying, raise up, or get up, take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I say to you, for Herod seeks the child to kill him. And after he rose up, he took the child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the end of Herod, in order to fulfill that which was being said by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I will call my son. Then Herod, after he saw that he was tricked by the Magi, he was enraged greatly. And he sent to kill all male children in Bethlehem and in all its regions for 2 years old and below, according to the time which he ascertained from the Magi. Then it was fulfilled what was said through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice in Ramah was heard, weeping and much mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she desired not to be comforted, because they were no more. And after Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared during a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, be raised up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for the ones seeking the life of the child have died. And he rose up, took the child and his mother, and went to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, thank you for the opportunity to be used of you this morning. I count it a privilege to serve in this way, and I yield myself to you to be used in whichever way you lead. My prayer, O God, is that you will speak to our hearts, you will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You will comfort us through the message of hope. And Lord, you will conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, our brother and savior. I pray that you will restrain the evil one from confusing the preaching of your word, and that you will bring clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Our world today is baptized, as it were, in a cesspool of atrocity. We are cornered, hemmed in by what we call the five global giants: spiritual emptiness, self-centered leadership, extreme poverty, and pandemic diseases. Along with that, unprecedented illiteracy. The hopelessness experienced by many all over this world today is shocking. We should not be surprised at this, since these atrocities are from of old. Since the day sin left its ugly stain on the trail of history. But as we reflect today, let us not forget that the birth of Jesus the Christ was an antithesis and an antiseptic to the germ of sin, which continues to breathe such atrocity. In essence, the answer then to life's darkness was entered by Almighty God, as Paul said, in the fullness of time. No doubt, our lives in one way or another have been a part of this pit of sin. This season, again, gives us the opportunity then to recapitulate how God in his providence prepared and offers each of us a new and living hope. The story this morning, found only in one place in the scriptures, Matthew 2, reveals the extent to which God cares for us as individuals and as a world. You might be thinking, why choose such a dark story to reflect on Christmas? But I believe so many of us, we get into the excitement of Christmas that we forget why Christmas happened in the first place. What can we learn then from one of the saddest stories at Christmas time? The first thing I believe we can learn as we look at the text read earlier is that God's purpose in this wicked world is protected by God's providence. God's purpose in this wicked world is protected by God's providence. So many things are happening today that we wonder, is God still in charge? But for our faith, we would have thought that he has lost grip. But according to D.A. Carson, God took sovereign actions to preserve his Messiah, the Son, his Son. You see, brothers and sisters, the birth of Jesus, according to the prophet Isaiah, was an antidote to the devastation of sin on human existence. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." In truth, God preempted Isaiah in this prophecy with what is called the Proto-Evangelion, the first gospel. In Genesis 3 verse 15, it is written, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Therefore, the birth of Jesus is God's fulfilled response to the devastation of sin. Satan knew of this prophecy and dreaded the outcome of this prophecy. Hence, he sent one of his henchmen to destroy the plan of God. But God used divine providence. God used divine providence to upend his plan. I love it. God used divine providence to protect his interests. Bible says in verse 13, "And after they departed," talking about the Magi, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream during a dream to Joseph, saying, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I say to you, for Herod seeks to kill him.'" Many commentators agree that Egypt was a natural place for them to flee to. It was nearby, a well-ordered Roman province outside of Herod's jurisdiction. And its population included millions of Jews. But leaving at night, Joseph's family made their route of departure impossible to trace. The language might also evoke Jewish readers' memories of the Exodus in Exodus 12 and 31. Especially if they had an animal, they could have taken some gifts for their life in Egypt. God protected his purpose. Jesus, the Christ child, came to check the onslaught of sin on this world. But Satan, the enemy, tried to undo it. See, he protected his purpose by giving specific command to the individual he had chosen to execute his plan. And the angels commanded Joseph explicitly. Joseph and Mary and the child must go to Egypt. It was a matter of urgency. Some 70 miles away, they needed to travel. Because God was well aware of the plot against baby Jesus. Bible says, "For Herod seeks the child to destroy him." Strictly speaking, to destroy his plan, to destroy his purpose. Herod, seemingly driven by pride and a craving for power, pursued Jesus, pursue this Christmas gift, not only to destroy him, but as per the hidden diabolical motive, to destroy what he stood for. You might be saying, but what does this have to do with Christmas? Let us be clear. This Advent season represents something that is far more important than our mere Christmas traditions, which have been in many respects narrowed to a commercial feel-good experience. This time of the year, we must turn our attention from the frills to what Christmas really means. While it is good to be with family, to celebrate, to be festive, let us not forget what it really represents. I believe that this story jolts us back into reality. The reality of the true meaning of Christmas. The Apostle Paul states in Galatians 4:4-5, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, underlying that word, to redeem those who are under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. The coming of Jesus, the Christmas story, is about God's plan and program to bring back mankind from a lost eternity and to check and cleanse the stain of sin. Matthew 1 verse 21 states, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. What is significant from our text, though, is that within this purpose of the incarnation of Christ, the Christ child, there is a sinister plot by the evil one to inhibit the purpose of God. And I'm saying that that plot still stands even today. And sometimes we get in the festivity and forget what is at stake as God's people. But as it was at the first Christmas, so it is today. John 1 verse 4 and 5 says, in him was light, and the light was the life of men. And the light came, is shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word, comprehended it not, is the word katalambano. Some text translates it, the word did not understand it, but that's not correct. That word means to seize, to arrest, to overtake, to cancel, to eclipse. And I want us to realize this Christmas, that Christmas is about what Jesus came to do in this wicked world, and that the enemy is trying to undo, but cannot undo, cannot eclipse. There are those who are still bent on overpowering the light called Jesus, his message, his hope, his church, This Christmas, we have to ensure that we do not get lost in the commercialization of this season, but share in God's purpose in holding up the light in this putrid world. Where are we in that regard? This world is lost. And we, as God's people, are called to realize what is at stake. When this happened, it happened during what is called the intertestamental period. A time when God was said to be silent for 400 years. No voice after Malachi from God. No prophecy. It was a time of war. Rome was gaining in its military initiatives to establish might, its might over that period, over that time, over that region. Herod was known as a wicked man. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that sometime later. But it is in that perceived silence of God, in that time of treachery and difficulty, that a voice cried out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." It was the fullness of time for God to step in and check sin. Let us not forget that. Because sin still reigns in our generation. Sin still has its wicked claws on this world. But we who are the bearers of light needs to ensure that we don't forget our responsibility to shine the light of Jesus. God has a purpose. And God's purpose reigns supreme. God's purpose in this world is protected by God's providence. But I want to quickly get to my second point. And I'm going to leave the last point until after today in our second part of today's study. God's people, secondly, in this world are obedient, or ought to be obedient custodians and partners in fulfilling God's purpose. So not only is God intending to preserve his purpose, as he did with Joseph and Mary, taking them out of the problem, bringing them back when it was appropriate, so that the program of Jesus could be fulfilled. Understand that God's people are a part of that. I wonder what would have happened if Joseph was not paying attention. When Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus, if Joseph was excited about just the birth of the baby and the wonder of the shepherds and the excitement of the magi and miss the voice of the angel that said, "Run! You're seeking the life of the child." See, God prevailed upon Joseph and Mary, and both obeyed the Lord. Amen. Because you see, Joseph and Mary understood the importance of faith and obedience. Joseph and Mary understood the importance of faith and obedience, and the plot, as it were, of Satan was undermined as a result. Bible says in verse 14, and after he rose up, he took the child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Verse 15, and he was there until the end of Herod, in order to fulfill that which was being said by the Lord through the prophets, out of Egypt I will call my son. One of the things I want to point out here is that they were consistent in their obedience, and they hid until Herod's end. The word there is teleutes, which means Herod's destruction. He died. Actually, he died in BC, 4 BC. You see, note that it is appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't matter how powerful evil and evil men and women think they are, they have an appointment with death. And sometimes two things I want to note from this point is that as God's people, we have to recognize that we are a part of God's program. And if God's program is going to be successful, we need to be obedient to God's word. They heard the angels. They obeyed the angels. They hid the child because of what was at stake. Can I say this? Even in this Christmas season, we must understand, as it regards to the message of Christ, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because disobedience ruins and trifles with God's plan. It's not just about us. As God's people, we are part of God's program. And disobedience can only hurt that program. We cannot be too ingrained and enmeshed with the culture that we miss what God wants to do through us, through this light. The world still, the enemy is still trying to overtake it. God is still speaking to us through his word as to what our motives, what our plans should be, what our lifestyle should be, so that this program that started 2,000 years ago can continue. And like Mary and Joseph, we are called to obey. I love it. They stayed in Egypt and waited upon God. And to the Lord says, it is now safe. Jesus was in Egypt with his parents. And the purpose of God was preserved. The next thing we need to see is how we as God's people today, during this Christmas season, have a responsibility to show forth by the way we live what this season is truly about. Can I ask, as we celebrate, how are we doing that? How are we helping people to realize that this story is a story of hope? That this Lord is no longer a baby in a manger, but a Savior and reigning King, and who is coming back again. I want to stop here, but I want to challenge us. In order to complete the plan of God, God's people must be perceptive of God's program, obedient to God's direction. How obedient are we to God's words and God's guidance? We cannot be carried away by the trappings of the culture and miss what God is trying to do through us to fulfill his plan. I want to encourage us then, let us find the time in this season to realize what is at stake. There is a message, there is a purpose about this season that is greater than the celebration. And we are called to make the world aware that the light truly has come, and that the enemy continues to try to eclipse it. And it is our responsibility through obedience to ensure the fulfillment of God's program to bring hope to this world. Amen.